here on October 5th, 2011. The year's almost over. But I'm proud to announce today that I got a wonderful guest, a marvelous guest. And her name is Alexandra Levitt. She's been on two times before. Why is she here today? She's written a brand new book, and it's called Blind Spots. And here's what I personally hear her saying. She didn't endorse what I'm going to say now, but this is what I hear her saying. She's saying, hey, everybody, the 1960s are over. They're finally gone. The Gen Y triumphalism we heard for a while, for a couple of years, that was their very last gasp, their dying breath. But the Great Recession has now wiped them off the map. Goodbye, beatniks. Goodbye, hippies. Goodbye, Gen Y blowhards who like to crow about being intrinsic reward junkies. Yeah. Goodbye, you. Hey, I'm going to give you a little history lesson before we start. Because of all the money that was around during the 1960s, people could tell the boss, screw off. They could afford to do that because there were other jobs, right? They said, hey, man, you can't impose your rules on me because I don't need you. So the rule of the day was no rules. And bohemian culture became mainstream culture, but not anymore because there isn't any money anymore. Maybe they're going to have bohemians in China, but freaks won't be cool in the old USA. No one is going to hire you to do your own thing. No one is going to hire you to express yourself. You don't come to work anymore looking for self-fulfillment. If you want a job, you got to fit in. And if you got a problem, it's not the squares who are doing it to you, and it's not the man. If you got a problem, the problem is you. And in Alexandra's world, there's no revolution. If you've got a complaint, you got to be diplomatic. And that means low key, low key. Remember, I'm out of breath. Remember what Allen Ginsberg said back in 1955? He said, I have seen the best minds of my generation starving, hysterical, naked. And what Alexandra, Alex to me, is telling us is that the recession has put the beatnik back in the bottle. Misfits aren't cool anymore. We're right back there. In the 1950s, when Maynard G. Krebs was a joke, you probably don't even know who he was. He was a beatnik. So if you want to be a free spirit, don't plan on having a career. That's her message. And speaking of free spirits, Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Your music didn't come out. Let's play a little louder. I turned it low. Hey, welcome to the free world. Alexandra, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Great to have you back.
Great to be here. I'm excited.
Great.
Oh, my gosh, that intro was phenomenal. My goodness.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Jerry, for that phenomenal shout.
I get the best shouter
in the business.
Yeah, highly trained.
Let's make Jerry feel good, okay? Last week he almost choked on his show.
I
want to
feel good.
Okay. At least he's good at something.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, my.
Now, you know what?
If it's not the F-bomb king.
We're going to get to that. Alex is going to teach you guys how to behave in public. But, Alex, first of all, I got somebody else who's going to speak for a few minutes before you start. I'll see if he's here in a minute.
All
Alex,
county
I
job.
Want to get... No. But, Alex, scared me in her new book. On page 157, Alex, you admit that you are a born complainer. You say, I'm half a glass as a person. Like, you know, everything is wrong for you. If something goes wrong, you think the other guy's trying to screw you. So even though you know what this show is like, and you asked me to come on yourself, I'm kind of worried that if I criticize your book, you are going to hate me. Can I be sure that that isn't true?
You can be 100% sure that that isn't
okay,
true.
Okay, so, like,
the
even if you hate me.
The best thing about blind spots is that it's supposed to generate controversy and discussion. So I'm all for it. And if anybody wants to come on and discuss any of these myths, please, the more opinions, the better.
Animal, what
okay,
do you care if people hate you for?
Well, I like her. I
Jerry doesn't
like
care.
Me.
Why should you?
Okay.
Wow.
Here's the thing. She advises, I'm just going to say, remember, Alex, if you get mad at me, just talk yourself out of it like you advise us to do in your book. And you also
well, exactly.
say, okay, you also, exactly, it's a lot easier said than done. And you also say that you tend to lock yourself in your room and eat ice cream when you feel bad. That's okay with me, but I just want to make sure that you've got a good supply of Ben and Jerry's at home if the show doesn't go well for you to use. Is that
I actually have
sure
peanut butter fudge. I have some peanut butter
okay.
fudge.
Mm. Right. I've never had Ben and Jerry's, even though it was on sale this week. I should have picked some up. Okay. Now, there's a guy named Yuri. That reminds me. Did anybody see the movie with Kevin Costner back in the 80s, which Alexandra doesn't like the 80s. We'll get to that. But there was a show called a movie called No Way Out with Kevin Costner, and the main character, the secret character, was Yuri. Yuri, are you here today? And I had a feeling he wasn't going to call in. Alexandra, don't.
Uh-oh.
No one's going to hire him. He told me a lot of times. He told me a lot of times, I'm excited, I'm going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And he isn't even here. So I'll go
Liar.
Through to my ad. Oh, yeah. Yuri, I can't remember his last name. He's lucky. I can't expose him. I'll go to my ad, and then we'll go to you. Maybe we'll sing, because I thought Yuri was going to be in place of the singing. Jobspeak.com. JobSpeek.com. I've been talking about it for months. Does anybody know what it is, Jerry?
No.
Do you know what it is?
I have no idea.
A Stringer, do you know what it is?
I don't. Please enlighten us.
Maureen, is anybody here who knows what it is?
Are we supposed to be telling you, yes, we do know what it is, because we hear this every week?
Well, I'm just actually testing right now to see if, my ads are sinking in. I want to use this to sell more. But anyway, nobody's biting. So here's what it is. JobSpeak is a free mobile job posting application. It lets you post a job from your smartphone directly to the internet. It's free right now. And it also lets you post a picture of your business and a 60-second audio clip about the job directly from your phone to the internet. And it also, there's more, it cross-posts to your Facebook and Twitter accounts automatically. And it's all brought to you by @ChrisRussell, the guy behind AllCountyJobs.com.
That sounds great.
Great. You can spell JobSpeak any way you imagine. He's got it. All going back to the same website. Alexandra, can you say it with me? JobSpeak.com.
JobSpeak.com. Chris Russell is awesome. He is the bomb.
Oh, you know Chris. Okay, so then say
yes.
it with me. AllCountyJobs.com.
AllCountyJobs.com.
Okay, thank you, Alex. Now let's get back to you. You're the author of a new book called Blind Spots, okay? And even before I tell everybody
what
the book is about, Blind Spots.
Oh,
Blind
okay. That sounded,
Spots.
You were fading in and out. It sounded like something different. I thought, what?
Am I fading in and out, Alex?
Are you fading in and out? No.
Only my
okay.
highly trained ear would notice, Animal.
You know,
carry
Jerry,
on.
When he's got a problem with his phone. Anyway, Alex, let's just go straight to a case history. I'm going to really run you over the coals on this one. Let's say I have a blog, right? And on it, I like to discuss what the mainstream pundits are saying. So, for instance, there's been protests on Wall Street recently. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Susan Sarandon, the actress, showed up there yesterday, and she said, this is a quote, "I don't think there's ever been any kind of power that's given up power unless it's been wrenched from them, and hopefully the toolkit exists here for nonviolent change." So what if I have a blog and I write on it that she's totally crazy? Why even hint that violent change is necessary in the home of democracy? Is that going to be bad for my career? Because, like, you are very big on not talking about politics or anything. One of your chapters is, don't be controversial. Is that dangerous, this specific example?
I think that it is actually a bit dangerous because a blog has to be considered public. And if you wouldn't want something visible, for example, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
I got it from the front page of the Wall Street Journal. That's the point. That's what I'm making.
Right?
This is what the mainstream pundits are saying. Is she crazy when she says we can't let our Arab brothers and sisters get ahead of us in democracy? Is that a joke? Is it dangerous for me to say that?
I think it's dangerous because you don't know the political opinions of those people who are influential in your career. And if they happen to disagree, if they go online, they Google you, they see that, they happen to disagree, well, it could put a little bug in their ear that maybe you're not the person they thought, or maybe you don't have the outlook that they thought. And even worse, potentially they might think you're writing this stuff on company time and you might be in even bigger trouble. So it's not just the opinion that you're
Man, are you a wet blanket? Does anybody want to talk about that before I offer another example?
Is your upcoming example going to be Mike A. Stringer throwing out the F-bomb on Facebook?
Okay.
Like he's in high school?
Okay, Mike A. Stringer, who's on the line right now, put a hilarious poster on Facebook that had the F-bomb, and I actually shared it. It was so funny.
That's hilarious. It's downright hilarious. In a gutter trash sort of way.
I was saving that because I knew I'd be on the show with you today, Jerry.
And Mike and I love each other, by the way.
Alex.
Hi, Mike.
We've had extreme man love, right, Jerry?
Yeah, heterosexual man love, though. Let's be clear.
Okay, Alex, shoot, is that wrong? It was sort of like, I forget what it said, but it was funny and it had the F word in it.
You know, I think it depends. I think if you're working in a corporation and you have to realize that that will probably get out and somebody in the corporation will likely see it and it may have ramifications that you don't particularly like. If you're willing to take that risk, then I think as long as you're aware what you're getting into.
Okay, see, I'm giving you real-life examples that nobody else is ever going to throw after you, one after another. I read that Madonna is going to be the halftime show at the Super Bowl in February. And the article I read, I didn't think of this myself, I didn't know. They said in her last tour during the last American election, she showed a slideshow on the screen of John McCain. It included a picture of John McCain followed by Hitler, and then another song she had, Barack Obama, followed by a picture of Gandhi. And they said anybody who puts up John McCain, calls him a Hitler, doesn't deserve to be on the Super Bowl. If I agree with that, if I publish it and say I agree, is that going to be bad for my career? Just to clarify what you think.
Again, I would say that there's a risk that that could be bad for your career. I mean, whether we all agree with these things or not, I mean, as you're going through these examples, I'm thinking, gosh, no, do I agree with that? I probably do agree with that. But it doesn't matter because your public persona has to be.
Don't do it! Sorry, Alex. Go ahead.
Don't be political, that's all.
You're being a bit, slippery here. You say, well, there's a risk. Should the person do it? Or if they came to you and say, Alex, should I do it? I mean, what would you say? Would you start asking
absolutely
if they're in the
not
automotive industry? You'd say absolutely not. Okay.
Absolutely not. Because you know what? There's nothing to be gained from it. People think that everyone wants to hear what they have to say and that it's so important to go online and espouse your views. Nobody cares what you have to say. The only thing it can do is get you into trouble. It can.
You hear that, Jerry? Nobody cares what you have to say.
Okay, here's another one. I read in the same article that Madonna has what they call pillow face from too many injections to make her look young again, and her face is kind of puffy. And if I write that, is that trouble? Does it mean I'm pathetically vapid and interested in stupid things? I don't think pillow face is too stupid. What do you think?
I mean, I would just
Alex?
Wonder. I'm saying I would wonder why you want to waste time talking
about it. I find it interesting. I
want
to discuss it with people. It's wonderful. The internet is wonderful because you can get on there and you're never lonely. You always have people to talk to about the things that are going on in everyday life and the current events, and they can comment on them and teach you something. I think it's great. Patrick Buchanan, he's a mainstream pundit. He says that World War II, I read an article, World War II is a mistake. Britain should never have guaranteed the safety of Poland, and it would have turned out better if there wouldn't have been a World War II. If I go online and agree with the guy, is that trouble? I'm sorry, I just want your opinion to be clear.
It could be trouble.
Okay,
maybe it'll be fine, but maybe it won't be. And I just think that people should think about what they post before they post it. And, do not be political.
Okay, well, let me turn the tables on you, dear. On page 84 of your book, you admit that you are not too familiar with the New Testament. Is that a dangerous admission, or does that let everyone know that you're diverse and they better watch themselves if they're thinking about criticizing you?
Nailed her, man.
No, not necessarily.
Awesome. Good work.
Only you would interpret it that way, Animal.
I'm wondering that too. Explain a little bit more your line of reasoning from that statement.
Hey, there's a lot of people in the United States. I'm in Canada. It's a little different. But you got a big Bible belt there. And people, I read one guy, a business pundit or something like that in the old days. He was a very interesting guy. And he said one day that he was going to talk about evolution. And he apologized for it at the beginning of his blog posting. And I sent him a note because he knew who I was. I said, are you crazy? You have to apologize? He said, I live in Kentucky. He said, everybody here thinks, you know, evolution is the devil and you don't want to get in trouble. And I was shocked. But, I mean, is it dangerous to talk about evolution? I want to clarify, when you say watch yourself, what are you talking about? Because now it's becoming pretty clear.
Well, you know what? I mean, I much as it pains me, I would have to say, true, evolution is also one of those things you probably should not be talking publicly about online because there are people who it's a hot-button political issue for them. So you just have to think about how is this going to be perceived. And also, I think all the examples you're talking about don't necessarily have to do with this person's specific line of work or what their blog or show is about to begin with. So
you're really advocating a kind of a world of absolute political correctness then? Am I reading this right there?
If you're Alex? if you're your average career-minded person,
like Mike
Astrayer,
fairly average guy.
Yeah,
but this isn't even
person
vanilla here.
In a public online forum, I'm not saying what you can and cannot do around friends and family or people you trust, but in a public forum where people who you don't know what their political affiliations are could
like
be
Facebook?
Watching you.
Yeah, I happen to agree. If you notice, I never. Well, not never, but rarely do I ever expound my political views on Facebook or on Twitter. So I happen to agree with this entire line of thinking.
Okay, and actually he has retired generally from the Recruiting Animal show because he said, listen to this, Alex, he was hilarious on this show. Jerry doesn't think so. I do. He was hilarious, and he said it was coming back to bite him in business. People said, hey, I heard you on the Recruiting Animal show, and he started getting worried about what they were going to think.
Is that seriously happened, Jerry?
That's
true.
He's talking about
Jerry,
me.
Mike
yeah, that
Astringer.
Did seriously happen. I had like three recruiters I was interviewing in a row who all said, oh, yeah, I've heard you on the Animal show.
Well, I've had that too, but it's been in a positive way.
Well, I was
go,
not always very positive in my comments on the show, and you know, it made me a little nervous, quite frankly.
Well, no, it's just your quick wit.
Rightfully so.
There's ammo for you, Alex. But look, here I'm going to go on. Here's an alternative view. I believe we're entering an age of incredible openness. Transparency is being forced upon us, and that's the big paradigm shift today. There's going to be more letting it all hang out than ever. Everybody's got a cell phone. Every cell phone has a camera. Every picture can be sent to the internet in a split second, right? So what's going to happen? Here it is. Every faux pas at every party, every nipple slip at the beach has a good chance of going public, no matter who you are. You don't have to be Madonna. This stuff is that it's going to be less embarrassing than ever. How about that, Alex?
Well, it might be less embarrassing, but that's the reason that we have to caution people about these things, because it is so easy to make a faux pas. And
you can't fight it! You can't fight it!
Yes, you can, animal.
It's the law of history!
Animal.
Go ahead, sorry.
Kathy's corner.
Alexandra has some great points, and they're ones that we should be passing down, especially to our teenagers who are posting ridiculous things online and then trying to get into good colleges.
Here, my son's on his way to law school, and I yell at him about his Twitter all the time.
No, my son just did about a couple of years ago, the most ridiculous YouTube thing. I mean, I was horrified. And, you know, he was 15. And he didn't get
Darling, I was horrified. Okay, thank you, Kathy Manis. C-1, that's her son who's doing that stuff, okay? Now, Alex, your next section is called, Alex has written a book called Blind Spots. It's all about how to be successful in your career in the new age. And I want to ask, is this really new? Alex, if they want to find your book, should they go to alexandralevitt.com? What's the best place to find your book? I know it's on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Blind Spots.
You can do that, and also visit alexandralevitt.com as well.
And do you have a big a banner at the top of the blog page or something like that?
It's a banner that's in the lower left-hand corner.
That's not a good place. It should be at the top. Come on.
Well, I've got a lot of different things going on right now. So
okay, but this is your new book. This is your new book. Come on. Okay, how much is the book? How much
is
it cost?
They can join the Facebook page. The Facebook page is Blind Spots Book, and I'm actually looking to get more controversial, interesting discussion going on there. So Facebook.
Then you need to have A-Stringer over there.
Okay, it's called Blind Spot. On Facebook, it's called Blind Spot Book.
Right, Blind Spots Book.
Hey, why is there a delay? Why are you delaying? Are you thinking before you answer me? Are you nervous?
Is there a delay?
We'll have no thinking on this show, please.
I'm experiencing a delay. There is no thinking on this show. That's one of my rules. The thinking's done before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now,
that's
Alex,
why Jerry's the star of the show.
He's not the star of this show.
Thanks for finally recognizing that, Mike.
Okay. Now, Alex, I got to ask
you
something.
Around.
Is this really new? In your introduction, you say, Alex, do you like the way this interview is going, or is it rubbing you the wrong way? You want to give me some feedback?
Yeah, it's fine with me, except I don't understand where the delay is coming from.
Okay, don't worry about it.
I'm not getting a delay on my end at all.
Because you're only in Chicago.
You know.
You're not in China, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So in your introduction, you say, this is not your parents' business world. This is not even your older sister's business world. The recent recession has transformed our ideas. Massive change is afoot. A major paradigm shift is occurring. And those who wish to be gainfully employed for the foreseeable future must adapt new ways of doing things. Yet a minute later, in the same introduction, you say, Tom Peters told me, quote, it's about remembering the simple things your grandmother taught you. Tom was right, you say. And so were his equally famous colleagues, Dale Carnegie and Stephen Covey, who amassed fortunes writing about these concepts. Well, you know what? A lot of people's grandmothers were illiterate. I'm tired of hearing about grandma, okay? And if they weren't illiterate, they were poorly educated and held menial jobs. But that's beside the point. If Dale Carnegie and Stephen Covey were writing about the same stuff, it's not really new. All you're doing is exposing very clearly the ideas, the politicking, the sucking up, and everything else, all the complexity that is involved in being successful. That's what you're doing. In the 60s, you know, in the 70s, whenever, they said, oh, we have to be open. You're saying that was never – you didn't say it, but that was never true. People were always sucking up to rock stars or whatever people were on top. So it's not new, is it, Alex?
Well, I think this is an excellent, excellent point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because what I'm saying is not necessarily that
Are you sucking
new,
up to me when you say that? Are you sucking
I'm just trying to clarify. The last 25, 30 years has been a different type of business climate where people were playing political games, backbiting, trying to see who could stomp over who to the top, and we're just seeing an attitude of distaste toward that in the world, where we have seen companies go down, people have been carted off to jail, the CEOs who we thought we trusted are no longer here. And so I'm actually saying not that it's necessarily new, but that it's a return to the old. So it's new in our current decade, but not totally. Does that make sense?
Oh, you know, I like you so much. Why do you have to be so wrong, okay?
No.
You say, this is what you say in your book. We have realized that money and manipulation will only go so far. We've come 180 degrees from the backbiting and dirty politics that characterized the dog-eat-dog 1980s. Well, I don't know if you were here in the 1980s, Alex. I don't know how old you are, but I don't see much difference except that girls wear tighter shirts and have more tattoos. What about Hands Across America? Was that so bad? That was the 1980s. The Cold War ended in the 1980s. Was that so bad? No.
No, but that was politics. It's a different type of business.
Okay,
than it was
let's
in
go to business. Michael Milken, remember him? Ivan Bosky, that's a junk bond guy, the junk bond scandal. Ivan Bosky, the arbitraging scandal. The savings and loan scandal with Charles Keating, the president's buddy in the early 80s. You know what? Then came Enron 10 years later, whenever. Then Bernie Madoff. It's always the same. In the 80s, there was Gary Hart. In the 90s, they had Bill Clinton, right, and Monica Lewinsky. And then they had Elliot Spitzer just a few years ago. Nothing changes, dear. The traditional thinking is that mankind is depraved. They're always going to be bad, right? And your
Elliot
book
got his own show for doing that.
Yeah, okay, whatever. My point is that Alexandra's book is not about trust and open communication, what like she says. We've proved it's about tact and being very careful what you say and watching your back. That's what it's all about. All through the book you're saying, don't say that. You might piss somebody off, right?
Well, it's a fine line. You have to be able to be assertive and make sure your contributions are visible, but you always have to be thinking, how is what I'm saying going to be perceived? And I think there's a difference between having goodwill and trust among people that you work closely with and espousing your political opinions every 5 seconds. But yes, it is a fine line. You have to be thinking about it. That is what I'm recommending. At every
you
point,
are a politician,
you open
dear.
Your
yeah,
mouth.
I hope you're going to run for Congress or something up
no
there
way.
In Obama land, okay?
I don't want to do that. I have less than
okay.
no desire to do that.
Well, that's kind of funny, because the first half of your book is all about, and I'll get to it, the details, it's all about how to devote your life to the company to get ahead. And then the second half of the book is about how success is going to drag you down. Do you deny there's a contradiction there?
Between, no. I'm just saying that in some people's cases, promotion can come too soon and before they're ready, and you should think about it from your own perspective, whether it's a good move for you, not that it's necessarily 100% always the right thing to do to move ahead.
I felt like killing myself after
no,
I read
but
your
that's
book.
Not
the first,
you can still be
ahead.
Successful without being the head of a company. You can still be successful. You can still be happy. You can still be good at your job. Being at the top of the ladder is not for everyone, nor is having your own business. That's not for everyone either. And I
yeah,
think
ask
a
Mike
lot of,
about it.
Don't
okay, Mike.
Interrupt her, okay? Don't interrupt her. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
No,
see, Alex, the first half of your book was all about how you're in a bind. You're there with all the people you have to watch out. They're going to drag you down. So you got to talk about the weather. You can't talk about Madonna or some other goofy thing that's gone on, right? And then the second half is all about how if you try too hard and you get promoted above your level of competence at an early age, it's story after story about how these ambitious people failed in the end. And then it's all about burnout and depression. I felt awful when I read it.
Well, I'm sorry you feel awful. The message is really meant to be positive, and that's that here are all the things that you just need to watch out for, but if you watch out for them and you do a few minor adjustments in your life or in your thinking, you can actually come out quite well.
Okay. It's more for me like those medieval poems that tell you you're going to hell no matter what you do. Andy Gregory, do you have something to say? Is that why you're
it's
talking
It's the halftime
there?
Show, man. He's warming up.
Show.
Though
okay,
actually
go ahead.
Half-time
Andy.
Well, halftime show is, while Alex's book is entitled Blind Spots, I
suddenly felt like I'd be better off if I was deaf and mute. You know, if you want to find out what she thinks, I think you're going to need to buy her book, because this show is not even vanilla. It's approaching plain. Wow, we did not hear.
I don't remember what you said. I don't understand what you said, Andy, but thanks for your contribution, okay?
Hey, more point.
One other thing. While we did not hear the words reach out during the first half of the show, we did hear paradigm shift twice.
Yeah, it's in her book. She loves Stephen Covey, who I don't respect at all, okay? We're going to come to that.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to disagree on that one. That's fine.
Okay, fine. Fine. Okay. Alex's book, to remind everybody, I don't always remind people of this stuff that much, is called Blind Spots. Her website is Alexandra Levitt is LEVIT.com. And if you don't know how to spell Alexandra, you're an idiot, and I can't help you. You might not be able to read her book. But you can also go to Amazon.com, which I'm sure you can find, put in Blind Spots or Levitt, and it will come up. And I will write a good review of it there if they let me open an account as Recruiting Animal. You don't know how hard it is. Everybody hates the Recruiting Animal. Quora, LinkedIn, Google Plus, I've been kicked off everywhere. I don't know why, just because they don't like my face. And I'm diverse, believe me. Okay. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to come to something. I'm worried. I don't want to hurt you, Alex. But here, I'm going to read the blurbs from the beginning of your book. Okay? You didn't ask me for a blurb. You didn't ask me for a blurb, and after reading these, I'm kind of glad you didn't. Although, I like you, okay?
Blurb
Tim Sanders. Tim Sanders. Now, I respect Tim Sanders because I like that idea of love cat. Remember he wrote the book about love cats, Alex?
Yes, that's my favorite one.
Okay. He says, Blind Spots busts success myths and replaces them with time-tested techniques to transform yourself into a 21st century winner. Okay? Tori Johnson. Love Tori. I was on her show. She never asked me back, but that's another story. Anyway, she says, Tori Johnson says, Alexandra Levitt tells it like it is, not how we'd like it to be, busting myth after myth to get us exactly where we want to go. Lindsay Pollack, she's lindsaypollack.com, I think. Alexandra Levitt's myth-busting book is a much-needed guide to succeeding in the real world of business today. Jody Glickman, don't know her. Her myth-busting advice is a must-read for anyone working to make it to the top in corporate America. Barry Maltz, I'm almost done. He's an entrepreneurial, bootstrapping type guy, if I remember correctly. He says, forget all those myths of business success. Read Alexandra Levitt's new book and learn that today, authenticity and perseverance, which is the way I say it, win the race. Now, Alex,
is that a Canadian thing?
No, it's medieval. But it sounds better than perseverance. Okay, perseverance. There's a famous play I saw put on at University of Toronto called The Castle of Perseverance. Okay, suits me. Now, but my question is, all these people, Alex, they all talk about myth busting. Did you send them something? This is what you should say and sign this. Is that what a blurb really is?
Blurb.
No, I didn't.
Did your publisher? Because if they would have sent it to me, I would have seen that as insincere. I would have had it write my own. That's my only point.
I sent them. I sent them an e-copy of the manuscript, and it had a summary with it. So it's possible that they grabbed from the summary.
And every one of them just happened to cut out that myth busting part. Okay. Well, you see, I don't think that you're busting myths. I think you're telling it like it is. I do believe that. But I think these are the truths as they've always been. These are the eternal truths that you're talking about.
But they're not,
is that a good endorsement?
Sexy.
Is that a good endorsement? Alexandra
Levitt
is telling you the eternal truths of business and social life. It's all about watching your ass and sucking up, covering your ass. CYA. Okay. Now, let me see. Okay, yeah, the dog-eat-dog 80s, we discussed that. Now, here's something else. You say open the newspaper, and you'll see that Trader Joe's has become one of the most popular chains in the world. We don't have it here. But its management refuses to expand if it means giving up its homey mom-and-pop feel. Are they doing that because they're nice guys and they want to be cozy with their customers, or because they think there's money in doing that?
Well, I think it's both. I think that they realize that their brand is built on this reputation of being one-on-one and being homey and being down-to-earth. And
being crappy, overpriced, organic junk.
You know, I have to agree. I don't really like their food either.
Trader Joe's sucks, man. I tried to get some bacon in there one time, and it was like $15 for some sort of turkey-sliced smoked apple. The joke. I can't believe they're still in business.
A little too sophisticated for a country boy like you, Jerry.
Well, first of all, bacon only resides on a pig, okay? Now, if some of you East Coasters think that bacon is whatever they want to stuff into a bag and charge you $15 for, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think their food tastes particularly good. I have to agree with you.
Yeah. So.
Okay, but my point is that their mom and pop feel, they're mom and pop not because they're nice people. They're mom and pop because they're mercenary. That's what business is about, pleasing
it's
people,
both.
Right?
It's both. If it wasn't good for business, they wouldn't do it.
Right, okay. Now, Stephen Covey, you're not only praising him, you're praising his son now, right?
Yeah, I love both of them. They're both great guys.
Paradigm shift.
Yeah. Okay, Southwest Airlines. Is that the only airlines? Is the only when people want to talk about good things in marketing and dealing with customers, that's the only airlines anyone ever talks about. And, you know, do they consider customer loyalty important, like you say they do, because it makes them money, you know, or are they taking care of better customers because they're not greedy? Okay? That's a real interesting contradiction. Are they doing it because they're greedy, or are they doing it because they're not greedy?
I mean, my perspective on him.
Hey, let her talk. She's a guest, okay? Go ahead,
Alex. My perspective on Southwest is also similar to Trader Joe's, is that they do it because it's good for business, and they have this reputation and this brand to uphold, and people see them as being the low-cost, no-frills airline where you can get a smiling service and where you call in and you can get a real human being on the phone, but, you know, that you don't get the perks that you get with some of the other airlines.
You know what?
Perfect segue for me to announce that I'll be on Southwest Airlines in 3 hours for Miami. Thank you.
All right. Okay, have a good flight.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do down there, Mike? Oh, we don't care. Back to the show.
Well, Alex, the reason I'm taking that to task is because you're using this as examples of people being more one-on-one and sincere, and you're saying that's the trend today. Am I right? That's what you're saying.
That's what everybody is aspiring to. Whether everyone will be successful at it or not remains to be seen, but the trend is that there's a real distaste for all things dishonest and all things manipulative. People really want to be authentic and trustworthy, but in a positive way. I mean, again, it's that
Jerry's
fine
going
line.
Out of business, Ben.
What's that, Mike?
I guess Jerry's going out of business.
Oh, because I don't lay the F-bomb out on Facebook? I'm not authentic and transparent enough to cuss
well,
like
Jerry,
I'm in a bar at 3 a.m.
Yeah, you don't cuss enough, Jerry.
What's that?
You don't cuss enough.
I don't.
Okay, Alex. I'm coming back to Alex. Alex, I want to tell you a little history of mine. First time I saw Bruce Springsteen, it was in a gym at a school at a community college. He was only playing small. He was only playing small halls because he wanted to be close to the people. And that wasn't after this recession. It was a long time ago. The next time I saw him, it was in a hockey arena, a big one, Maple Leaf Gardens. But he only played to one side. There was a big curtain going down the center, right? So instead of 20,000 people, it was only 10,000 people. The next time I saw him was in a full hockey arena in Buffalo at the Odd. They call it the Odd. And the next time I saw him was at a football stadium. Did he betray the dream? Did he sell out?
No, because he's probably still doing some of those small gigs that he enjoys doing. I'm sure he does a lot of pro bono and not-for-profit stuff. But it's in his best interest for the business and the empire that he's built to play the bigger stadiums, too.
Yeah,
but
it's
just
not intimate and cozy. Go ahead, Al.
Didn't you just contradict yourself saying that he's doing what's best for his organization? I mean, can't you make that same argument for Goldman and Lehman and Solomon and the mess we're in?
Yeah, but I mean, that was what Bruce Springsteen's doing is not unethical. Stealing money from people and lying and cheating, I think if you poll most people and what those financial firms did, it would be considered unethical.
But in their eyes, they were maximizing their revenue and their value to their shareholders. And if you go back to your other comment that if you get offered a promotion and you, well, I don't know if I should take this. Is this really in my best interest? Truth of the matter is, Jerry, chime in on this. If you tell your boss, no, you know, I really don't want that promotion right now, chances are good they're going to pass you over the next time and the next time and the next time because you weren't willing to step up when they asked you to.
Well, I think that's a valid point. The tone in which, and we talk a lot about the nuances of this in Blind Spots, the tone and the very specific way you turn down the promotion, extremely, extremely important. You can't just go to your boss
Hey, let her talk, Al. I vouch for it. She discusses this at length in the book, so let her tell you what she thinks. Okay, Al,
please
go ahead.
My apologies.
I think you're right. I think it is dangerous to do it. So I think you've got to do it absolutely in the right way, and instead of saying, I don't think I'm ready for this, or I think you should have chosen someone else, and giving your boss the perspective that, you know, he or she made a mistake and that he or she doesn't have good judgment, you have to say, hey, something like, hey, I'm really excited about the work I'm doing right now. This is something that I feel passionate about. I'm really satisfied in my job right now, so I'd rather keep trying to make contributions in this area. And the tone of that is completely different from putting your boss on the defensive or saying they made a bad decision or you're not ready or you're not smart enough. Because if you say those things, I absolutely guarantee you will not have a good reaction.
And while I agree with what you say in theory, if the majority of companies are open-minded and will say good, and listening to that, I would argue the other side and say a vast majority of them are not. And we'll come back with, Alex, you know, she said no last time. Don't ask her this time.
Animal, you're losing the show here, man.
She's made her point. Does someone else have something to say besides Alan Fleur on that? No? Okay. Now, Alex, although I think I like the way – here's what I like what she did in the book. She didn't just say, tell them you're not ready, you know, I don't want it. She gave detailed instructions about how to do it tactfully so you don't piss them off and you don't just let it all hang out. And she gave examples of people who were too ambitious and, you know, seemed to be going ahead and then crashed. I like the one about that woman named Susan who lets everybody know she wants to, you know, be promoted, and then there's an opening and they know they can get her cheap. So she goes into the senior position, I think it was VP sales, right? And she starts something like that, or VP marketing. She starts very successfully. Then she goes to Atlanta to open some hotels, and there's some old-style owners who don't disagree with her, and they crush her, a young woman. They finished her off. She couldn't take it. She quit the company, and she quit that industry. She would have been better off saying, I'm not ready, and if they offered it to her. And so Alex tells you how you should do that, and I admire the way you've gone into detail on that, Alex. Okay? In your new book called Blind Spots, which is available on Amazon. Now, let me ask you something. You sent it to me in an Adobe format. Can you get it in the Kindle for PC? Because that's a great format as well.
Yes, it is available as of yesterday on the Kindle, and the only reason I didn't send it to you then, Animals, because when I sent it to you, it wasn't available yet, but it is as of yesterday.
Okay. How much is it on the Kindle?
$9.99 U.S.
That is a great deal. I just have to say,
That is a great deal.
I started using the Kindle for PC. I don't have a Kindle. I downloaded the free software. I just want people to know they can do it. Kindle for PC. Then I download your book, and it lets you highlight the stuff in yellow, whatever you want. It lets you highlight stuff and then make notes on a certain section that you're interested in. And then you just go to the top and click on, I want to see all my notes. And it gives you them in the order of the pages. It's really good. The only problem is if you make a lot of notes and a lot of highlights, it seemed to me that by the time you start getting to the end of a book, it slows down when you add more comments and highlights. But that's a good deal for $9.99, $10 on the Kindle for PC. Very good deal. Blind Spots by Alexandra Levitt. Now, Alex, on page 15, you say, quote, yeah, is there something you want to say before I lead it? I just have a feeling I might be missing, you know, something you really want to get out there. So you can take over for the last 15 minutes if you want.
Oh, no, it's okay. You can ask your questions. What I was actually thinking while you were talking just now is the comment, and I forget, Animal, if it was you or Jerry. I forget who made the comment. Said,
it was brilliant. It was most likely me.
There's no thinking on this show.
It was kind of lame
and
crusty. It was him.
I was thinking how completely contrary that actually is, because almost no show makes me think as much as this show. And I was just enjoying.
Oh,
I was like, wow, these are some really tough, good questions. And I had to stop and think instead of just spouting my usual, you know, I have these key messages about the book and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I really appreciate it. So
Jerry underscore Albright on Twitter. Jerry underscore Albright.
Yeah, you should definitely try the show when Jerry's not here.
Not later. That'll.
Oh, I've been on the show when Jerry's not here, but I really enjoy myself, but more importantly, it makes me think. So it's actually the opposite of what you guys.
Okay.
You're welcome,
okay.
Alexandra.
Now, there, you raised an issue. I was going to go into something I hope I have time to get back to, but I have a problem. Sometimes when people endorse me like that, they send me, because you've got a whole thing. And I have to tell you, I saw the same idea on a book called Career Tracking in about 20 years ago, but you go into it a lot, and I think this is important, and you go into it in detail about how to let people know what you're doing, because you say that you can be the greatest worker in the company, and your boss might not know it because she is not watching what you do every minute. Lots of people might not know what you're doing, and so you go through ways of letting people know what you're up to will allow you to advance in your career, or even if promotions aren't that good, whatever. It's important to let people know who you are. People send me endorsements, and they send it in email, and they send it in DMs, direct messages, and I don't know if I'm free to publish those online because they're not, like, on Twitter. They're not on their blogs. Alex, can you help me about that? Do I have to go to people and say, hey, can I publish this endorsement you sent me? Because I feel when you tell people you're going to publish their stuff that they send you privately, that kind of puts a chill into your future communications.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think that's called being assertive. I think if you receive something from someone in an email that would be beneficial, or an example is what just happened. I just said something on the show that you probably or might want to put on the record. So you go back to me and say, hey, Alex, could you put that in an email?
No, that
or
was
put
already
it on a review?
Public. I would not ask you. That's public domain. If you would have sent me an email after the show and said that, I would have had to ask you. But I wouldn't want to.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I think
you
do have to ask. You do have to ask, but there's nothing wrong with asking. I've done that about 10 times this week already when people have sent kind of superfluous comments about the book, and I'm like, hey, you know, would you mind cutting and pasting that comment into a review on Amazon, because that would be really, really helpful to me. And do I feel bad about that? Not particularly, because I don't think it's that much work for them. They've already given me the feedback. They probably genuinely feel that way, so why not share it? And
I don't know.
They might say,
geez, next time I say something nice to her, she's going to pounce on me and ask me to announce it to the world, and
I don't think people look at it that way. I really don't. I really don't.
Okay. Now, you also say on page 15, on a warm, breezy day in May 1961, U.S. President John F. Kennedy announced before a joint session of Congress the very ambitious goal of landing on the moon before the end of the decade. Now, I want to ask, why did you say on a warm, breezy day in May 1961? What was the significance of that? It's not a novel.
Just trying to be more interesting, I guess. Trying to put some flavor in the stories.
I like it.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Okay. Now, you said, now one of the things that was in, I think, in your chapter on goal setting, when you set a goal, it's, you know, it's very powerful, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't the Americans win in Vietnam? They certainly, Kennedy himself had said in his inaugural address, let every nation know whether it wishes us well or ill that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. Wasn't that goal setting? And didn't they lose?
Well, not all goals, and that's one of the things we talk about in Blind Spots. Not 100% of your goals are going to work out. The important thing is to be vigilant about them, to set them as strategically as possible and follow through to make sure if something isn't working that you're able to turn around and readjust your strategy before you spend too much time spinning your wheels.
And well, that's why I only write down stuff after I do it and then scratch it off.
That's good. Okay.
I feel great. I got a ton of stuff.
And we can probably talk for an hour about how Vietnam does or does not adhere to that strategy, but I really don't want
to. Well, you know, he didn't say we're going to win in Vietnam. He didn't say, it wasn't as specific as that moon statement, right? So, you know, maybe there we could go there. But there's about three people just joined the show. Does anybody want a chance to say something?
Building steam for the after show, dude. Get hip. That's why people are calling in right now.
Coming in for the after show, yeah. So maybe you just want to talk when Jerry comes on.
Well, it got out that I called in today, so the after show is going to be busy.
Okay. So, you know, you're welcome to speak up. Otherwise, I'll keep going. You said that some people are born with a tendency to persevere, and the example you offer is your little son. Do you have anything better than that?
Yeah, anything better than that. Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, you've got to get a gratuitous mention of the kid into every book.
Okay,
know?
But, I mean, that's a good start.
So people who are...
Hey, some jerk who just got on the show is listening on the phone and on his computer speakers at the same time. Listen, you moron, turn it off, okay? I can hear myself through your phone.
Listen, you moron, I love it.
Okay. Can you hear me? I'm going to have to block all the people who called in for Jerry now. Sorry. Okay. Those are that's your crowd, Jerry, the dumb ones. Okay,
moron.
So let me see. Here's what you say. We have become a society of now. You know what, Alex? You're too smart to get caught up in those cliches about the 1980s, how greed was, you know, in the 1980s, but it isn't now. And, you know, we're a society of now. People are always like that. The preachers would be out of business if it wasn't true. It's all hellfire and that stuff. That's because people are bad. They're stupid. They're animals. Not everybody's got a high IQ and can think ahead. If I do A, I'm going to suffer at B, C, or D, okay? So
that's true.
We become a society of now. What were you talking about?
Well, I think that it's primarily because of the internet. The internet offers instant gratification, and you can get information at your fingertips or talk to people at a moment's notice. And that's really what I was referring to more there. But I think you make an interesting point when you say that human nature has always been this way, will always be this way. And I think what I'm trying to emphasize is what people are doing on the outside. So they might be thinking something on the inside, but what is respected and appreciated on the outside? And I think it's different today than it was 5 years ago.
So you think culture can control people to some extent?
Yes.
I'm going to agree with you if you say yes. And
I
you think the culture has
that, yes.
changed. You think
yes.
the culture has changed. Yeah, I
yes.
don't. I think culture did change in the 1960s. It became more open. And I think it's still becoming more open, as I've stated. Okay? Now, and I think it's becoming more like that since the modernity started, whenever it was, in the 1600s or whatever. Now, on page 18, you say when people pray, the parts of the brain responsible for self-control get a major workout. Now, there's an author named James Altucher. I think it's Jay Altucher on Twitter. Have you ever heard of him?
The name sounds familiar, but I haven't read it.
He's good. You know, he's a fun writer. He's kind of one of these crazy guys, and you might think he's crazy, but he's provocative and interesting. And he says one of his advice, he's got some 10 principles of success, I think it is, and one of them is that you should pray to anything. He says pray to a chair. It's good for you, right?
Yeah,
and that's
what
you agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Andy Newberg, I don't know if it was in your book or I looked it up after, neuroscientist at the University of Pennsylvania, he says the more you focus on something, whether it's math or auto racing, or football, or God, the more it becomes written into the neural connections of your brain. Did you say that? Is that your quote? Am I quoting you?
That sounds familiar.
Uh-huh.
It might be.
Okay. What does that mean, written into the neural connections of your brain?
It means that it becomes a part of who you are, not just what you think. So instead of, I mean, one of the things that we're doing in Blind Spots is we're instructing people, okay, well, you need to change your way of thinking. And in many cases, that's difficult for people to do because it doesn't come naturally to them, a thought process. And when you're rewriting something into your thought process, it means it becomes like second nature. So I think that's what, and when we're talking about focus, we're talking about you don't have to work so hard to pay attention to a certain thing, that it's something that just comes naturally.
Spontaneously, yeah. He calls it neuroplasticity, and he says you can sculpt your brain just as you'd sculpt your muscles if you went to the gym. But it's obvious that some people are more naturally muscular than others. I could work out forever, and I'd never look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, even if he didn't take steroids. You know what I mean? Some people are more muscular than others. So just like you said, some people's brains tend more to perseverance than others. Is that right?
That's right, and it's practice, too. And I say that about perseverance as well.
Yeah.
And these are skills that do come naturally to some people, but there's nothing that says that you can't hone them in yourself. And that's, again, the positive message I really want to get across in Blind Spots. This stuff is not rocket science. It's a matter of just realizing you're behaving or doing things in a certain way and gradually making adjustments in yourself to have a better outcome.
Now, our old friend Aristotle, he also wrote, I don't know, 2,500 years ago or 2,300 years ago, whenever he lived, about the importance of habit, right? But he said if you weren't raised that way by your parents, it's unlikely you're ever going to change. It's probably true today as well, wouldn't you say?
I think it depends on the individual. I mean, I think that genetics is at play there, that if your parents weren't habit-forming people, then maybe genetically you're not going to be either. But if you've got a completely different set of genes and a completely different personality, then you could very well do things completely differently than your parents.
But
and
you know what? When I was younger, this is our last point almost, so I just want to say, I used to work with some nice guys in a liquor store, which is government-run here. So they were conservative types, and they weren't ambitious types. But my manager used to say, an animal, he'd say, some men are born to be hung. And likewise, it sounds like some people are not born to be successful and some people are, right?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think everyone can be successful in
their own right. Your son has perseverance. Your son has perseverance. Not every kid does, right?
Right, but they can develop it, and we can encourage them to develop it. May everyone be as good as someone else? No. I mean, just like with sports. Like, you can be a good athlete and you can be a phenomenal athlete. Well, you can be reasonably persistent and extremely persistent, and both are good. Both are better than being not persistent at all.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of the way you think about it. And that's the thing about everything that I recommend in Blind Spots is something that anyone can do tomorrow. It's not stuff that is above the fray. That is
an animal. If we were to get to the bottom of it, the hung issue is all the jealousy that Jerry has toward me and the whole problem that we have today.
This whole show is those two guys. It's just about them. Alex, before we go, do you want to sing with me?
Sure. What are we going to sing?
I Want You to Want Me. Do you know that song?
Yeah. I want
it's the
you
classic
to want me.
Jump right into it. Fantastic.
She's great. If that's the classic song for a job hunter, we're going to close on that. Then we'll go into Jerry's music. Alex, that has been so fantastic to have you here. We're going to sing with Jon Bon Jovi. 1, 2, 3. On you.
Talk about a moron.
I'm the only one who's singing. Thank
you. I'm nearly asleep.
Alex, you can't stay. Just one last thing, Alex. You can't stay on the after show.
Hey, one more thing, animal. That wasn't Jon Bon Jovi, dummy.
Cheap Trick.
Robin Zander.
No, you look it up. Bon Jovi had a version as well, and his is better than Cheap Trick.
What version did you play?
I played Jon Bon Jovi.
No, you didn't.
Live.
No.
Cheap Trick.
That's a lie.
Now, a true
Bon Jovi never did that song.
Interesting topic.
Oh, Jerry, in front of the world, let's put some money on that. 25 cents.
Canadian?
Fine.
No.
Oh, he's a chicken. Chicken, you lily liver. Go ahead. Do your show. Your buddies
yeah.
are all here. They're all,
man,
all
I can't have
it.
A great show unless you do, and that was flat.
That was a great show.
Oh,
I'm going to disagree
on.
With you today.
Well,
and
we'll,
you
I guess we'll
say,
see. We'll find out, won't we? Get
hey,
off
animal,
the line.
Animal,
and
if you hadn't been there.
A show host could just, you know, go with it and have a good show. So let's see you do it, Jerry.
I'm working on it. And I want to start off, Mike, tell us about your Miami trip, and we'll pretend like we even care. Seriously, I will. I'm going to say, ooh, sounds great. And then I'll make it seem like I've been to a few of those places and that kind of stuff. So go.
Well, Jerry, I'm sure Miami Beach has nothing to offer a guy like you. I mean, there's no outfitting, none of that going on down there.
Well, what with your big debut at the first ever virtual Christmas party last winter, Miami Beach is the perfect place for a guy like you. Now, your wife doesn't go with you, does she?
Yeah, of course she does.
Seriously?
Of course.
And she lets you just kind of beefcake it out right there on the beach, huh? And she doesn't worry about all the women?
Let me tell you something. Those Cuban girls are calling me Poppy all day.
Love it. All right, all right. You're just going down to just hang out on the beach, huh?
Yeah, beach. We have restaurants we like down there. Just a few days relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get over to the other side of the state, Marco, any of that stuff? Are you strictly Miami?
We go to Miami 5 or 6 times a year, but once in a while we go to Cape Coral in between, which if you look it up online is a boater's paradise, 400 miles of intercoastal waterway in that little town.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Used to have some relatives that lived in Fort Lauderdale, so my days of going to Florida have kind of dried up.
Didn't really realize they allowed livestock in Fort Lauderdale, but that's great.
They certainly do. Certainly do. All right,
no,
well,
pig,
we're obviously not getting
pigs,
any
man.
Big guests.
Only pigs,
but...
man.
Okay,
you know
let's,
what,
talk, let's talk about the show. What were we even talking about?
Can I make one comment, though, Jerry, before we get back to the show?
Yes, you can.
I got to take my hat off to you for one thing. I happen
for
to
just
notice
one?
Few, just one. I happened to notice a few weeks back your wife comment on something that you posted on Facebook. And you have a very loving, devoted wife, and I take my hat off to you for that.
Well, thanks.
Go
you
on.
Say, but now you, I'm just waiting for you to say something snide.
Nope, I would never include family in any smart-ass remark I have for you.
yeah, she's cool. She's cool. Well, I mean, how could she not be? I mean, I've got it all, dude. I mean, seriously.
I mean, how she puts up with that haircut, I have no idea.
Dude,
more...
she loves it. Loves it. See, when... I can't even get into it, okay? You want to cut all your hair off, do the lazy man's cut, go ahead.
Actually, it's because I got into motorcycling again, and I got tired of helmet hair.
Mmm. Nice. Let's talk about this show. Alex was nice. Alexandra, she seemed, you know, articulate. About as far as I can go with it.
She made some valid points. I mean, certainly not Animal's best guess, but by far not his worst.
Her whole thing is just be politically correct. And I know you're not into the whole PC stuff, Mike.
Not only am I not into the whole PC thing, but I feel like, to some degree, I mean, there's got to be some level of discretion as well. But you know what? I'm not going to go out into the world and be somebody I'm not. I am who I am. If you want to do business with me, if you want to be my friend, whatever, that's your decision. But I'm not going to throw my
political... I just still cringe at the F-bomb out in public spaces. Perhaps it's just my, Midwest upbringing. We don't walk around saying that stuff all the time like you guys do on the streets of New Jersey. I've seen movies, you know. I know what it's like over there.
I'm sure you have. You know what?
Is it just us, man? Is it me and you?
It's like me and you and Mike.
Andy Gregory?
I'm here, man.
Hey, dude.
Andy Gregory.
Man, I thought the Colts were going to pull it out, man.
Alan's here still.
Alan.
Hey.
So where are you guys located geographically?
Alan, where are you?
Los Angeles.
Where?
L.A.
All right.
Pasadena.
Rose Bowl.
Rose Bowl, baby.
So
golf.
I don't think that the F word is probably as prevalent in Southern California as it is in the Northeast, right?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Hey, Alan, would you use the F bomb in a Facebook post?
Oh gosh, no. No, 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 no. No.
Andy
no,
Gregory?
No, I would not.
No, and a good example, we had a candidate who, great guy, very politically opinionated, and presented him, and somebody smartly searched, commonsensically searched him, called back and said, Alan, we love him, but tell him to clean up, delete, or change his Facebook because he's got the F-bomb all over the place. And we don't care about his political views.
And let's be on the same page here. I didn't use the F-word in a Facebook post. I shared a picture that someone else posted that had the F-word in it.
You know, when
teachers
can get fired for using it as an example, come on. You got to be careful.
See, for me,
let me share a quick story. My wife is Catholic, and I went through the RCAI classes to be able to marry my wife in the church. And
no, I'm sorry. I have 12 years of that kind of schooling, Mike, so I'm recovering as well.
But, well, let me just share this then, because you may relate to this.
Yep.
So I always looked at a priest, being a non-Catholic, as someone who would never use the F word or do anything inappropriate or whatever. So kids and I are sitting in this RCIA class, and the priest actually used the F word in quoting something or someone else. I don't remember the exact context. My kids and I were sitting there with our mouths hanging open, like, I can't believe the priest just used the F word. But let's face it, I'm not a priest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, my mom is a lady. And she sometimes, I would imagine, reads my Facebook stuff. So I just post everything with the idea that, yes, my mom's going to read this. And I respect her a little bit more than to tend to use the F-bomb. But
that said, Mike, I do think that graphic is very funny.
And you know what?
I agree. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny.
Two things. First of all, my mother grew up in New Jersey, so I'm sure she has heard the F-word before. Second of all, if you notice, Jerry, I clean up my Facebook page every couple hours. It's not going to be there in a couple hours.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, but
no, and
you know,
Mike, they
are
some of the biggest drinkers, smokers, and private poker players you will ever meet. And some of them are very cool, and some of them are just lost causes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it sounds cliche. We talk about this authenticity, transparency, crap, and all this. And I mean, I don't know how you can, if you're authentic, I don't know how you can't be somewhat controversial. I mean, if I am having conversations with people, I'm probably going to say something that might rub somebody the wrong way. It might flat piss them off. But, I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to be? We talk, you know, we talk it out, we talk through it. Let's actually communicate here.
And let's face it, if somebody doesn't know me for me, and want to do business with me, then probably I'm not the right fit to do business with them anyway.
I think that's a pretty overused excuse for not having to clean up your act from time to time, frankly.
Jerry, I'm not posting pictures of me banging farm animals on my Facebook page. Let's face it.
Right. Keep those for your own collection.
Exactly.
Can I get you my email address?
All right, we need to have a quick score here for the show. Let's, as a group, just decide. What do you think? The guest.
I'll give you my proxy. Man, you have my proxy. Go ahead.
I think she was a very good guest in terms of, you know, just functioning as a guest. Had answers ready to go, articulate, you know, had her own ideas. I'm going to give her a 90.
Ooh, that's high.
Yeah. And if I don't hear any other scores, that's what she gets. And we'll get, 80, 82.
But see, he carried the first part of the show, man. I thought, I mean, it was like he was firing bombs at her, and she was going, okay. I mean, it was just, I mean, he carried the first 30.
Man, sometimes it's so hard to, you've got to keep up with all of these different stories that Animal's going through. I mean, you're just thinking about what he's saying.
I mean, he
more
was
so
like,
than getting ready to answer the questions.
I mean, he seemed like over-prepared, man. He was ready to rock and roll. And again, it was just like, sure. Exactly. Well, it just depends.
So you're thinking that she doesn't deserve that high of a score, and
I think she dialed it up. I mean, I just think sometimes people that they've written a book. You know, if you really want to know what they think, you know, you got to buy their book. She was guarded in the spoken word, but probably, you know, lays it on the line in the written one.
What is her book about?
I don't know.
Did I miss that? Blind spots?
It just depends. Not necessarily anything. Paradise. Yeah,
it's mostly just about myths that we all thought we were living by for a long time.
All right.
She needs to go watch the original Wall Street.
Yeah, and she needs to maybe have a real job.
I mean, it's really wonderful. It would be really wonderful if all corporations came from a, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. We want, just like most of them say they do, but at the end of the day, they are to make their profit and grow, and it flies in direct contradiction to what we would all like to have in a perfect world.
Shouldn't we all go get a real job?
Yeah, I have one. I'm a recruiter. I got my own job. I got a real job.
Gary, who is that?
I think
it's
Dawn.
No.
Who is it?
I'm Cora.
Cora?
Yep.
How's it going, Cora?
Real good.
Where are you in this great
Detroit.
Country?
Detroit.
Detroit.
Yes. Well, the unemployment is, you know, so low that all the recruiters are making millions.
Millions, yeah.
Right.
You probably are making enough money that you could have taken this week off and occupied Wall Street.
Had surgery 2 weeks ago, and I haven't worked other than to source and take care of my best clients for the last 2 weeks.
What's your last name, Cora?
Langeman.
Langeman?
Yep.
How would we find you on the internet anywhere?
Let's see. You can find me on LinkedIn under Cora May, M-A-E, Langeman. You can find me on Twitter. Animal didn't like my name, so I had to change it.
You tell Animal to shove it.
Well, he said it was too long because it was Cora May Langeman. So
how do you spell Langeman? L-A-N-G-E-M-A-N?
L-E-N-G-E-M-A-N.
See, nobody would guess the E.
My husband's family didn't know how to spell their name or pronounce that one or the other.
What kind of people do you recruit?
Technical accounting research, technical accounting, chief accounting officers, CFOs.
You,
automotive.
The first part of my career was nothing but recruiting for Detroit for years and years and years. And then over the last 5 or 6 years, I've kind of drifted out of there. Not much was happening, and now I'm too busy elsewhere.
You just knew the wrong people. I've been doing it since 1989.
Yeah.
With Norwood.
Tried to retire twice.
And they just keep pulling you back in.
Yeah, it's a problem when you give your clients a home number.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back.
The game is too good. It's too much fun.
Yeah.
The only thing different is that I've had my own firm for, I don't know, 20 plus, 1993 on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Detroit.
Gary, that's a great topic of conversation someday. Do we do this for the money or do we do it because it's fun?
Money just comes. I do it for the fun.
I do it to make enough money to keep having fun.
That would, you know what, Jerry? We finally agree on something. That would be my exact answer.
Wish I'd known you guys back in February when my husband had a heart attack. I had to turn down a search that the fee was $300 plus.
I thought the beginning of that was going to be that she was looking for a new husband.
No. No, I gave it to a guy in Chicago. Haven't heard a word from him since.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be a bit too high level for me. I place B-level players at average companies.
I placed everybody below this guy, so they wanted me to place the CFO.
I'll take those searches all day long.
It was okay, but I told him I needed to be at the hospital.
Is your husband better?
Except for the abdominal aortic aneurysm that I think they're going to decide.
Is this an animal HIPAA violation right here?
Let's see if my husband thinks so. I won't tell him. If they decide to take that out, I guess it could be a little antsy. We're going to see if it's growing or swelling more this month. Hopefully he won't die in between, but he's covered. Oh, isn't that a horrible thing to say?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to look you up on Twitter right now.
Already sent you an invitation.
Oh, on Twitter, I happen to be Cora May L. Seriously wanted to be Ruby Recruiter because that's what my longtime clients and friends call me.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that one, Cora.
Doesn't matter. Somebody
Cora
else.
Cora May L.
I don't like it either, but everything's what? Taken. Cora's taken. Cora L's taken. CML is taken.
What about Cora May?
Oh, that's taken too.
Cora _ May. That's not taken.
Yeah, might take that one.
I mean,
How about El Cora?
El Cora. Yeah, I need something nice and short. I don't get excited.
Yes. Cora _ May is taken. From a lovely lady out of Hong Kong, Corazon Girbabuena.
Can you believe that there are that many Coras in the world?
No.
I know.
I would have never dreamed.
I grew up knowing no one named that except for the aunt I was named after, who I used to always say, thanks a lot. I wish I was a Judy or a Sue.
Yeah.
But in my world now, no one knows. No one pays attention to my company name. It's always called Cora. So it works now, but it didn't work so well then.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'll find a shorter name.
I miss recruiting in Detroit. I used to come up there 2-3 times a month. I loved it, from Dearborn to Novi to the whole place. Maybe I'll have to start seeing what's going on around there.
Here, is your Facebook open?
Is my Facebook open? Let me see. No, but, I mean, I can get on there.
I just sent you a message.
Okay, everybody, I got to run. You've all been fantastic. I will assume the scores that you're given. But, Cora May,
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
We're happy to... I listened to the first show, too. And, by the way, I wouldn't score 90 to the...
Really?
To Alexandra. Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen her book. I've looked at her book, went and a friend of mine bought it, and I glanced all through it.
Really?
I think she's, you have to bring yourself down to those people who think political correctness is the only way you can make it in this world, and I think that's a little overdone.
Political correctness drives me insane.
Yeah, I don't like it, and the book seems to say you have to do that in companies, in your dealings with people. And if I have to do everything to please everyone else and leave myself out of it, I think that's an injustice to myself.
Well, don't do yourself an injustice, Cora May.
I certainly wouldn't do that.
Ever.
Never. I happen to come first.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing you around. I'll connect with you on Twitter and... give us a call again.
I will, next week.
Glad to chit-chat. See you all later. Yeah. Have a good week.
Bye.
Thanks, all.
Well, I run back time. Well, I run back time. You can spend me the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I won't back down. you can stand my crown. Oh, won't be turned around in a world that keeps on pushing me around. Stand my ground. I will fall back down.
Don't come.